In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and we're live on air.
What's good, Clean Sheet listeners? We're back. It's your boy, your boys, Prince, Kareem, and Rio. We're back again. Welcome back to the Clean Sheet, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. As always, appreciate you guys taking the time out to listen and now also possibly watch us because everything. So go ahead and show us some love on all the pages. We're trying to make it big because, as Rio mentioned earlier, you know, you couldn't hear, but you know, he's not trying to pay to go to school. You know, he's trying to get paid to take niggas to school. So without further ado, let's go ahead and introduce the cast that I could not do this without. To the left, right, and center of me, Mr. Deadlifting Demon, the 430 Deadlifting Demon now. Shot him.
What's up, babies? Hope y'all ain't miss us because we consistent now. It's been what? A couple days since we last posted? I'm excited.
Yes, sir. And to the left, right, or center of me is the man behind the operation, the man with the planets, Rio.
Hello, boys and girls. You know, we actually do have girls viewing it. I was viewing the analytics on TikTok. There are women who look at our podcast, bro. They checked it out. So
Yes, sir. Appreciate it. We love everybody.
Good to see y'all.
That's facts. Well, we got a lot to talk about, both not just in the Premier League, but all across the globe. We have some German league updates that we got to give you guys. The Bundesliga, La Liga title race continues to heat up. And that's why I'm wearing the Barca kit today, you know, because I'm Kareem's biggest hater. You know, he's my biggest hater. So today felt like the right day to pull out the Barca kit. You know, it just felt like that kind of day, you know, like the shirt chose me, you know what I mean, today. So let's get right into it. There was a lot of footy to go around today. And I think there's no better place to start than the league where we kind of haven't shown love to yet, obviously, because, you know, it's been a one horse race for the last 10 years. And that's the Bundesliga. There was a couple of games that kind of started up back up again now that the winter break is over. Bayern played twice, actually, but I think the match I want to zero in on a little bit more, actually, because it was the more interesting match, was Bayern versus Leipzig. The one versus, I believe, three at this point. I'm not quite sure, but the one versus three or four, wherever they are on the table right now, Leipzig team that is in a bit of a transition, but still has so much talent in it. This match ended 1-1, and funny enough, obviously, after me and Rio slagged off Mr. Choupo-Moting, he really was the only one to get on the score sheet for Bayern today, and really the only one producing. But I mean, look, this in terms of Bayern's performances, in terms of Bayern games, really, when I'm tapping in, I'm kind of looking more at the performances because I want to see, you know, obviously, how that transfers over to the champions and what they're going to do over there in their tie against PSG now in a couple of weeks. But I want to kick it off to you, Rio. Where do you think, you know, things kind of went wrong, I guess, for Bayern? I know where I personally stand on some of the issues with them, but what did you get out of it? I mean, Leipzig played a good game, and I think, you know, they, for a team that's been losing a lot of players, I think the fact that they're still able to put up good performances says a lot.
Well, honestly, I don't watch Bayern games. I just think the Bundesliga is just a shit league, you know?
Oh.
I honestly wanted to have a hot take, bro. Honestly, Saudi league with Ronaldo.
That's what I'm saying.
It's more interesting than Bayern. That's crazy. Like, try to, like, win a game or something, bro. I'm pretty sure they're top of the league right now. It was exciting at the beginning with, I believe, the other team. I forgot their name. What was that other team at the beginning of the season that was, like, low-key, like, competing with, like, the, like, Bayern or whatever? They had, like, the great start to the season. Like,
Frankfurt's still pretty strong. Frankfurt's, I believe, that now actually the second, but Frankfurt's still playing pretty strong, and obviously they're still in champions after winning Europa last year. But I mean, no, there's to me, the Bundesliga has always been about the quality of players. Like, in my opinion, even though the French league is less of a one team race than the Bundesliga, which, by the way, the last team to win the Bundesliga besides Bayern, Jürgen Klopp, but you know, even though the French league is less of a one team league, I feel like the talent in the Bundesliga in terms of youth players and development, I actually think that's always been the thing about the Bundesliga that's really attractive. Like the young players, you know, I think they're developed really well in the Bundesliga and they translate pretty well. I know obviously there you get the Timo Werners, but You know, Kareem, I want to kick it off to you. What are your thoughts? Obviously, not just on this game, but, you know, like Rio mentioned, the Saudi, you know, the Saudis, they're next.
To add on to what you said, how this league is just, it's a one-team league, bro. To add on, no one really even noticed that Bayern just signed the second-best goalkeeper in this shit league, bro. It came out of nowhere. Like, no one, I didn't even see it on TikTok, bro. And then I'm scrolling one day and I just see this man at the wearing a Bayern shirt. And I'm like, what the hell? So I think this league is very mid. And I've never heard a truer statement from Rio before, bro. I'd rather watch the Saudi league. And I even understand the commentary. So that's a plus, bro. Oh.
All right. Well, I mean, look, I'll give my closing remarks on it. I feel like at the end of the day, for me, Bayern being pretty much my second pick for the Champions League, it's going to be a point that the performances kind of get back to the level that I think they want them to be. For me, Nagelsmann is still a top tier coach. I mean, obviously he's going to play around with things. He's going to tinker a lot. You know, obviously he's deployed that 4-1-4-1 recently a lot as well. It kind of acts a little bit more like a 4-3-3, but I think at the end of the day, you know, for Bayern, you know, they're going to coast in the league. It's just about, can they show up every 5 weeks, you know, and produce a European performance, you know, at the end of the day, because at the end of the day, I count the 2020 Champions League as obviously a trophy. Like it's nowhere near the way NBA fans look at, you know, the bubble, but to an extent, there's questions about like, was that Champions League really, you know, real, you know? And so if that's not the case, then you have to go back about 10 years now since they last won it in front of a full crowd of fans, you know, the 2013 against Borussia Dortmund. So, we'll be on the lookout for Bayern. We're going to keep a close eye on them as always. But, Rio, the game of the week, baby. We teased it. No, not that. The middle, baby. The real match of the week. Liverpool-Chelsea. It's beautiful, right? Because we teased it. Kareem said it. I said it. You said it. This was a mid-off. But even I could not have predicted this. The first 45 minutes looked like Sunset Lakes Park. Like that was that was mid. That was.
I think we've seen better quality at Sunset Lakes, bro.
We have.
A Kai Havertz reamer that got disallowed somehow. Mm. Unbelievable.
I can't believe it. I really can't believe it. Well, Rio. I feel like there's almost no points from this game. The thing that frustrates me the more before I hand off the mic to you, the thing that frustrates me the most about this game is that at least, even though I don't care about the league, just give me something, right? Like if we lost today, well, maybe, you know, I have more propaganda towards, you know, Milner and Keita and Gomez. If we would have won, okay, we got 3 points, you know. But this game didn't give me anything to go on. Like, this was literally the biggest mid-off of the year by far. So give me your points on this one. I mean, this was
honestly short. I think there's only one thing to say. Thiago Silva proved this game of why he's the best center back in the world alongside Militao for Kareem. I got you. Okay,
wait, you said Militao
alongside
you had me Militao,
right? Badiashile and Thiago Silva should be Chelsea's center back duo for the upcoming Champions League games and league games that are going to be coming up. I think some positives to take out of it was some genuine positives to take out of this game was, I guess, like for Graham Potter, like he can see that some of his new signings are working. I think Mudrik's cameo was pretty brilliant. You know, he hasn't played since November and he was cooked. I told you, he
cooked.
Mudrik is the second coming of Hazard, bro. It's gonna be
whoa, Burger Man. Kareem, what'd you think of the game, real quick? I do agree. The Mudrik cameo was nice. There was people getting ahead of themselves. I mean, he was dicing up Milner as soon as Trent kind of came on. You know,
he still diced him up too.
I don't know. Go ahead, Kareem. Though, what's your thoughts on the match as a whole? Mudrik's introduction.
For a game to be this early at 7:30 a.m. and to be this shit, I need compensation, bro.
That's facts.
I'm like, let me establish some research, you know, let me get firsthand, let me watch this game. But 7:30 a.m. for a 0-0 shit off. It's absolutely ridiculous. If I was a fan of either of those teams, I wouldn't even be able to show my face, bro. I would have my camera off right now. Look at it. It shows you. You guys are both fans of these teams, and neither one of you guys got their shirt on.
I don't.
We got a United shirt and a Barcelona shirt.
I do not.
And look. Yo, real. I want you to notice one thing from last video. You see how you can't even see the Liverpool flag that much compared to last time.
Yo, chill out. I joke. Yeah,
it had its moments though. Like you said, for Mudrić, you know, it's too early, but there were moments, you know, where I was like, okay. But
he hasn't played since November though, boys.
Yeah.
Yeah, but nowhere. I don't think he can do anything really to validate 100 mil.
What?
Yeah. I mean, no. Look, I kind of agree and disagree. I think I'm in the middle. I think he's going to be a good player. Look, for me, it's tough, right? Because I think we should have definitely a deeper conversation into it in terms of can a player ever really live up to 100 mil? But, you know, in terms of obviously today's money, that's all we have to go off of. I think he's going to be a good, tidy little player. Like, I think, you know, he's shown he's speedy. It's not like he's just a base merchant because he's good on the ball as well. Obviously, we have to see what kind of link up and you know, 1-2s he can play with the rest of the team and how he can fit into the bigger picture, because he was kind of a little bit more isolated this week. But obviously, that's going to come with time. He only played about 20 minutes, I believe. So it's like, you know, you have to give him the time not just to gel, but like Kareem said, he hasn't played since November. You know, he was the ghost of Kiev. You know, he was the Jets, you know what I mean? So
I have a quick question for you guys. If Ukraine wasn't getting thrashed by Russia, what's his actual fee?
brother.
You know they dabbled a little more to help out Ukraine.
50 million.
Oh, okay.
No, I think he definitely was gonna. He was always gonna command this type of fee, because you saw the way Arsenal were. Well, not Arsenal. He was also twerking, but it was a back and forth twerk off, to be honest, between him and Arsenal. Mm-hmm. And it was like
Chris and Jasmine.
Yeah. He's throwing that money at her. She, you know. But no, he definitely showed. I understand it now, because I saw clips and I was like, okay, well, this is just this could be Bundesliga clips and I wouldn't blink twice, like, you know. But he's shown quality for sure. Any last thoughts on the mid off?
I genuinely think that Mason Mount also needs to be sold to Liverpool. I think he'd be perfect replacement for Henderson.
No.
I think he's the combined duo of both. He's just a young James Milner.
I think you guys give him a duo, Jorginho and Mount.
Yeah.
200 mil.
God, yo, 100 million. Buenísima. Jorginho and Mount. Take it or leave it. You know what you give us in return? We'll take Trent to put in our midfield.
No, actually,
we'll play Reece James in the midfield, and we'll play Trent out right back, bro.
If Mount comes, I'm not ready for the next 15 years for Klopp to be like this, bro. that's literally all it's gonna be. He's just gonna use him like a bar of soap, like Milner. Oh my god, bro. I mean, no. We'll definitely save that for the transfer sheet, but yeah. Just quick answer, no. Don't bring that guy into my club, please. All right, well, let's talk about the real match of the week, obviously. Rio's wearing the kit, you know, the team that lost. And I want to give a quick shout out to not my city, my second city, but the city of Orlando. For those who didn't know, or it doesn't really matter, it already passed anyways, but there was a fan fest over at Universal this week, and they were raucous. Absolutely bonkers, mate. It was, the atmosphere was so fire. Just Tim Howard, everyone of the crew was nice, and I was there obviously for the second day, and when the Nketiah goal went in, they went potty. Obviously, I'm talking about the last goal. It was a crazy scene. And just quick shout out, you know, I hope they do one in Miami again. I know they did one in Miami, I think 2019, but you know, we would definitely be out there for that. So this was a good game. Obviously it shows in the scoreline, it shows in the hype on Twitter that you've seen about it, and definitely a classic, definitely a game of the season contender for me at least. United lost to Arsenal 3-2, and Nketiah with a brace, Saka with an absolute wonder goal, and then also Rashford, another wonder goal, and then Lisandro with a was a nice little header. So, look, I'm going to let you guys take the floor on this one. I have a lot to say, but I want you guys just absolutely gush about it because there were so many storylines in this game. You know, the evolution of the entire Arsenal team as a whole. But, you know, I want to let it, you know, marinate with you guys for a second. What do you guys think?
I thought it was a brilliant game, you know, better than the mid-off, you know, United.
Absolutely.
That's why I'm wearing the United kit today to show them some respect. But United, they did get hammered. I'm not going to lie, you know, but I do want a special shout out to Marcus Rashford. My man's, he's the GOAT, yo. I'm not going to lie. He's cooking for Ten Hag right now. I don't know what the hell Ten Hag did to him, but he has him absolutely firing on all cylinders. I really enjoyed the game. I thought it was pretty good. You know, I ended up watching the highlights and everything and watching like others, some like certain points and stuff like that. I genuinely think that Arsenal will have the league in the bag now. If they continue to play with this sort of fire and passion, like, you know, I don't know how they don't win the league. They just play beautifully all together as one, you know. They literally got the power of friendship wrapped up into their gotta love that.
Yeah. What do you think, Kareem?
I think the scoreline really doesn't represent the game. Like, Rashford's goal was an absolute banger, bro. Like, no one was stopping that. You had Lisandro's header. It was a very shite goal. But like Rio said, Arsenal clearly dominated this game. You look at all the stats, 25 shots to 6 shots. 3.25 expected goals to 0.3 expected goals. 3 big chances to 0. So you see that United really scored out of nothing. But
yeah.
Arsenal had this game in the back. In the end, if they didn't win, it was really their game to lose. But all I got to say is Saka and Nketiah, those are like two beautiful signings, brother, both flourishing. And as like I said last week, as a fan of the league, it's really beautiful to see what Arsenal is doing right now.
Yeah, what do you think about the whole Nketiah Jesus thing? Do you think Jesus is going to have his spot when he comes back, or you think it's going to be
a toss-up? I always feel bad for this man.
Yeah.
It's so sad what happens to him, bro.
Yeah, I mean, look, in my opinion, yeah, Nketiah, Saka were absolutely brilliant. I think Martinelli was off the pace on Saturday or Sunday, I mean. You know, in my opinion. And honestly, it's kind of weird because with Martinelli, it's this weird curve, because I remember back in like 2018, 2019, when he was a you know, big youngster, he was one of the players when I was looking at Arsenal, I was like, yo, this guy's going to be really good. Like, I think he's going to be, you know, just really raving about him, like kind of being not first to the curve, obviously, but definitely like earlier on kind of saying, yeah, I really like this guy. And now I'm kind of at a spot where I'm actually thinking the other way. Like, not that he's overrated, but I just don't, you know, he doesn't get his head up enough. His link of play is a little bit it's, I don't know. He's becoming a little bit one dimensional in this play. And, you know, the other side, obviously you can have that if the other side is going to be this dynamic player in soccer. I mean, he's, you know, without a question right now, I think if not the best, you know, right winger in the Prem, you know, one of, I don't think there's, I mean, Salah is great, but I honestly, the way Saka is playing right now, I don't think it's a question. So,
W take Enrique.
Yeah, I mean, no. If you told me who's the best right winger in the Prem, I still say like Salah, because I take into account, like, you know, not just really this season, but yeah, definitely. If you're talking about this season, team of the season, there's a good shot he wins player of the season. And real quick to, you know, obviously, because last week I put my neck on the line. I said, hey, I still back City to win it. And this showed me a lot. I'm not going to lie, because when I said it was going to be a draw last week, you know, I was like, OK, yeah. And it was what, like the 85th minute, and it was 2-2. And I was like, yep, this is exactly how I think it was going to go. They were going to draw here. It was going to lead to a couple of stumbling results down the road. And then when they play City on the 15th, you know, we'll find out who Arsenal really are. And they didn't wait till the 50th. They showed it on Sunday that they, you know, they had the mindset to be champions. And I'm genuinely, I'm not even just saying this, I am 50-50 now. I genuinely am, because I think on the 15th when they play City, if they leave there with anything, or I think that's the one at the Emirates, but either way, if they leave that match with anything but a loss, so I think a draw, I generally think at that point, yeah, it's sealed. Like, sealed in my head. Like, I think it's done. Because it is still 19 games. But, yeah. Any other thoughts, boys, on United Arsenal?
No, just absolute domination from Arsenal. Again, going to give a quick shout out to Tristan. He trusted the process and
he did. He did, unlike some other
other people don't talk anymore. He doesn't even talk on Twitter anymore. You know, he's that happy.
what's that Young Thug meme I was gonna pull up? What, the don't hate, just wait your turn.
Exactly. Oh, that.
Yeah, yeah. But look, super happy for Arsenal as a club. So yeah, from there let's have a little discussion about the La Liga title race, because it's technically pretty much unchanged. Barcelona won 1-0, Real Madrid won 2-0 over the weekend, so it's still a 3-point, Jesus Christ, it's still a 3-point it's still a 3-point lead. This guy over here putting his Bugatti.
Yeah, he's but guy in the podcast.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, why did the picture do it like that?
This guy, bro.
Who's got the power symbol?
What is wrong with it? But Barcelona are still 3 points ahead of Madrid, so I think that's getting juicy. I think that probably, if Arsenal do end up running away, I think this will probably be the best title race in the top leagues. So again, I think Napoli are going to run away with it in Serie A. Yeah, I mean, look, this Barca team is mirroring kind of the way their season went last year. Obviously they weren't in as big a hole, but like once they got dumped out of the Champions League, the performances just went through the roof, in my opinion, and the results followed, you know. So Karim, I mean, what is it that Real Madrid have to do differently? Because I know obviously there's problems defensively right now in Madrid, but you know, when you think about it, you're obviously not playing Barca every week, so it's going to come down to the consistency against the other teams like Getafe and Levante or whatever. But you know, what are your thoughts on that?
So when you're a big club like Real Madrid, you prioritize things. Okay. You play Getafe, you don't want to win, bro. You're saving your legs for Champions League. Nah, but to be real, like you said, this season really is mirroring last year. Barca had that one like 4-0 against Madrid. They went all stupid. They didn't do anything in Europe. But to catch them on, I don't think it's in our hands anymore. Anymore, sorry. I don't think it's in our hands anymore. We just got to hope that they, you know, that they fall off or that they have a couple mistakes. But in the league, they're playing really exquisite. When you think about it, it's really a farmer's league. It means nothing. But I think it really depends on the second El Clasico. We'll see how that goes. I think if we win, which we probably will, then it could be interesting. But that's really all I could say.
Yeah, what do you think about that, bro?
Honestly, Real Madrid, man, put their Bugatti on the table, bro, because
it's just fake. It's fake.
Barca, bro. Look, honestly, I saw the funniest thing on Twitter today about Barca. Some dude was talking about he can't wait till Dembele wins a Ballon d'Or.
Hey, yo. Dembouz?
You know, and that's what I just think about Barca. You know what I mean? Like, they're so hopeful. But in reality, like, they will fall constantly over and over again. At some point in this season, I think that Madrid will make it a fight. You know, once Barca hit that Europa League against United, you know, and they start kind of like, you know, getting like, they're going to win against United, like, quite comfortably. And then once they get into it, I think Real Madrid is just going to come in and stomp them, you know?
Yeah. They're
going to start revving like that Bugatti master right there. Andrew.
Jesus Christ, what is going on, bro? Yeah. So I mean, it's a race right now, to be honest with you. 3 points is nothing, but I think it's going to be interesting to see what kind of happens with Barcelona down the pipe, because you know, if obviously if you have a chance to win Europa, you know, that's obviously a European trophy. It's not the European trophy, but it's a chance to win a European trophy. So it's like, do they prioritize the league? I think they would, because it's been what, about 3 years now since they won the league, 4 years now. So I think they will go for the league over Europa. You know, just knowing Real Madrid fans, even if they won Europa League, it'd be more of a clowning than like, oh, look, you won Europa. So yeah.
There's nothing they can do this season to be validated.
Yeah. I mean, they could do like what, the double.
Oh, the dirty double.
They can. They're still in Copa del Rey. They can win against. They're in the semifinals right now. So
yeah, they won today.
So they can win the triple. The triple.
The trouble.
Yeah, that'd be horrible.
Yeah. I mean, no, yeah, and honestly, we don't talk about it either. But Sociedad are only 6 points. You know, behind Barca, 3 points behind Madrid in second place. So
they lost today. They played today, 1-0.
Yeah. So, you know, watch out for them. Watch out for them for sure. I think, you know, one of the teams goes haywire. I wouldn't be surprised if they ended in second place. From there, though, I had on the sets, obviously, that we were going to talk about the EFL Cup final being set, but I forgot that there's actually second legs. Mm-hmm. Both look pretty comfortable, though. United pretty much through. Same thing for Newcastle, 1-0 up on Southampton. So it looks like the final probably will be Newcastle United, which, God, I hope Newcastle win. But yeah, I mean, I think that's something we'll probably talk about when we get there, since there's going to be a second leg. But from there, let's get to the topic of the day. This one is very, 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 very exciting. So last episode, or last week, whenever you listened to that, we had our team of the year for 2022. And I thought, you know what? It would be very cool if we jumped 5 years into the future and from 2022 jumped in 2027. So let's put our boots in as we are, you know, in January 2028 and give our team of the year for 2027. What do you guys think?
I'm down for that. But we should have a bit of a format, you know? I feel like we should all, you know, kind of start with our back line. And then, you know, we'll all progress from there and talk about each of our selections right there.
I'm with that. So how about we start with the goalkeeper? I'm going to start with you, Rio, actually. Who's your goalkeeper? Who's in net for 2027?
Oof. Honestly, 2027, that's 5 years from now. Honestly.
Which we're going to come back to, because the clean sheet, you know, this obviously, you know, we're going to be going on, you know.
Call me crazy, but Kepa.
Jesus Christ.
God. Yo,
keep in mind, bro. I think we all forget.
Whatever you're smoking, come bring it to my house, bro.
How old is Kepa Arrizabalaga?
28. He's going to be 33.
Exactly. Keepers literally get into their prime at that age.
Let's skip this, man. So my prediction is going to be Gianluigi Donnarumma. The man is 23 right now. He'll be around 28. That's the real prime. It will be Gianluigi Donnarumma. This man is only 23. And he's been playing pro, what, since he was 17? Or like in the first division? Since I think he was 17 when he signed for Serie A.
Yeah. Yeah, Milan.
Hot take. Gianluigi Donnarumma is a mid-keeper.
Oh, my goodness.
Look, the Serie A, like, what are the good strikers there?
You're rating Kepa?
Kepa's had to literally deal with in the Prem and stuff like that. Honestly, Kepa's on the
cut. No.
Watch
this is Prem. This is Prem tax.
Prem tax. No, he's, bro. He literally faces some of the hardest strikers week in, week out.
Dude, Darwin Nunez is not a good striker.
Yo.
Name
Dimitri Payet.
Yes, that's true.
Be serious, bro. When he got there,
he has to face Neymar in training.
He literally was on the bench to freak.
Yeah, you forget who he's facing in practice, bro. Enrique, what's your prediction? Keeper in 2027?
So I actually had Donnarumma as my backup pick, but I'm going with Nick Pope. I think Nick Pope, he's not going to be Newcastle, actually. I actually have predicting him moving to United by 2027. And I think in 2027, he's going to be the keeper of the year.
My brother is going to be 35.
Pope?
I don't get why we can't pick older keepers at that time.
He's not gonna be. He's gonna be 35. Wow, that's mental.
People did not do their homework, bro.
I did it, bro. But honestly, to me it doesn't matter. I mean, like Nick, you can be 35 and be a keeper. Look at Buffon, you know.
So by that logic, Courtois will be 35. No, I'm kidding. I'm still going with Donnarumma.
Going to the left back. I think this one probably is unanimous. It probably isn't, knowing Rio. But for me, pretty simple. Alphonso Davies.
Yes.
You know, left back of the year in 2027.
But I believe, you know, there's certain players that fit the Real Madrid cameo. And I see him at Real Madrid. That's just my opinion, bro. In 5 years, we'll look at this.
I'll say my pick next. It's Theo Hernandez. He's 30. No. He'll be 30 then.
Oh, brother.
He's literally going to get a big money move, and he's going to be in his prime. They're playing, bro. He's a defender. He can play when he's 30.
Where do you think he's going to be at?
Yeah, that's not a bad show. I'm giving you shit, but
I wouldn't mind. I say whoever back to Madrid in 5 years, Rio, whichever left back we have, team of the year.
You think Mendy's going to be a team of the year?
No. We're not keeping Mendy, bro. They want to sell him off this year.
Okay. This guy. Mendy, yeah, Mendy's been, you know, mid. At right back, it's simple, baby. There's only one guy. There's only one guy, and it's not Obese James. It's Trenty.
Wait, is he serious?
Yeah, yes, sir. I don't even have him leaving. 2027, I have him. Still at Liverpool, and he wants
to be okay, wait. So let's get Enrique's team right. He said,
Nick Pope.
Alphonso Davies.
I said it, Donnarumma, but yes, Nick Pope as well. Yeah.
Alphonso Davies.
Yep. Yes, sir.
No way.
Kareem, go ahead, Kareem. Go ahead. Unless you have something to say. I mean,
no, guys, this one's not hard. He's in team of the year this year at the age of 24. He's going to be 29 and still in team of the year at Madrid, Ashraf Hakimi.
Go ahead.
Honestly, Kareem's pick is better than yours, bro. Like, I don't think I'll ever even get there.
Sure.
Right? Dude, I think by then,
sure, Trent's because one guy's been in the team of the year three times, one's been in it once.
Yeah, but we're thinking about right now, bro.
Yeah, but like, literally, bro, Reece's James ceiling is higher than both of them.
I mean, if Obese James can stay healthy,
James, brother,
you know, I'm sure he'd be a great player.
James has played less games than Trent, and he still has a better defensive like record. You can put it like on the ratios and shit like that. He'd still do better. He's better.
Sure. Let's talk going forward. Sure.
Come on. Sure. 5 years from now, Reece James. Sure.
Brother, I don't even – he might be on a stretcher in 5 years.
Let's dude, in 5 years, I don't even think Trent's going to be playing right back, bro.
It's a possibility. Yeah, that's the one thing I was thinking about, but I just think while he's at Liverpool, he won't. If he were
to go
to
– Rio, you said he won't be playing anymore.
Trent won't be playing anymore.
Yeah, I'm on to you, bro.
He's going to be a loving football, bro. Come on.
That's fine. All right, well, let's keep it pushing. I don't want to keep – the listeners on for too long. Center backs, I think this is really interesting. I have three names here, obviously only two spots. I have three names here. I want to hear your guys' first, and I'll just say whichever doesn't get picked. But go ahead, Kareem. Militao.
Yep. Militao. Push him propaganda. I genuinely think it is going to be Eder Militao.
Give me your two, by the way. Give me your two.
And this is going to please Enrique a little. I had three names as well.
Okay.
And as much propaganda as you push for Konate, it's either going to be from these three, I'll just give three, but it'll only be two. It's going to be between Militao, Konate, and Guardiola. That's my opinion.
Guardiola. Okay. Yeah, I get it. World Cup hype tax. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rio.
Okay.
Three names.
I got Fofana.
Mm-hmm. That was one of my three.
Fofana from Chelsea and Guardiola.
I'm a little bit hesitant about Guardiola. He played really well against Bayern as well. We didn't mention it, but I had Konate and Fofana as two names, and I also had another player that I'm a big fan of. Every time I've seen him, I'm like, "Yo, this guy's gonna be legit," and it's Jurrien Timber from Ajax. And I actually have him projected to go to Real Madrid in 2020, like by 2027. So, Kareem, you'll be happy about that. I just feel like he's a Real Madrid type of player. I also think Real Madrid obviously are going to need a center back, you know, in the next couple of years. And I think Jurrien Timber is going to be on the radar. I really do, because the ball playing is there, the physique is there, and he's obviously better than that bum Tony Rudiger.
He's not my player anymore. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. So I went Jurrien Timber. I'll go with Jurrien Timber and Konate just for the prop. But I do think Wesley Fofana, even though he's took a little bit of a dip after he had that long injury in 2021. But I'm talking like pre-injury Fofana at Leicester. Like you could go back on this podcast if you want, and you could hear me saying how he was going to break into the France team and stuff like that. That hasn't happened yet. But like, I was tapped on this guy for a minute. Like, he's, great player.
Like, everyone had some good picks. I really liked your picks, guys. Except Militao. What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, get Militao. Militao, for real, he's going to be in Flamengo, at Flamengo, playing for in Brazil in 2027,
bro. When he's 30?
Crack, bro.
Yeah.
He's going to be 30.
That's right. He's no Thiago Silva, though, you feel me? Like, I put
Thiago Silva's 37.
Yeah, I'd put 42-year-old Thiago Silva 5 years from now over
Eder Militao.
He's 30. Yep.
Keep that energy.
I will.
All right, let's get to the most exciting part. I almost want to skip this and go to the attackers because the midfield is so, so exciting. Like, I doubt we're all going to have the same three players. Do you guys want to do that, or are you going to go to the midfield? Because we can just go to attack. I feel like it's so self-explanatory in attack.
Yeah, we could go to attack.
Yeah, let's go attack. Sure. So left wing, obviously, unfortunately, I have to say this. Vinicius Jr. was my pick. But no, I'm not going to talk about that guy. But I also had Kvicha in there as well because I think his projections look really good. And I actually have Kvicha possibly moving into like the right wing position. Like, I think his career might lead him into the right wing position by 2027. So, yeah. What did you guys have at left wing, obviously, probably?
I don't got an answer, so.
Yeah, it's Vinicius Jr.
Okay, cool. So that right wing, I want to hear you guys first because you guys don't have my player probably. No. Go ahead, Kareem. Who's your right winger?
No, I want to go second.
Okay.
All right, well, let's say this, right? My left winger, or like my right winger, left winger are a bit interchangeable. You can put Vinicius or Mbappe.
Okay, so you have Mbappe on the right?
Yeah, but you can put Vinicius on the right. Like, it's a bit weird, you know? It's a bit fluid.
Okay. Well, I had Mbappe. Spoiler: I had him for my striker. Kareem, go ahead and give your right winger.
Kyle Saka.
Okay, it's not a bad pick.
Nah, I'm really rating him, bro. I think Arteta ball is helping him. So we'll see, bro.
I didn't have Saka in the right on the right. I don't know. Like, I think he's gonna be a great player in 5 years. I just don't know. I feel like he's obvious. Like, he's gonna leave. I feel like he's gonna leave Arsenal. I just have that feeling.
And I see him as a Liverpool player.
I did too a couple years ago. I don't anymore, to be honest. I don't know. Saka's a good pick, though. I like that. In right wing, this was the one position I spiced. I put a little spice on it. You feel me?
Harvey Elliott.
The backup name I had was a player who's currently striker, Timothy Weah of USA. I think he's going to make that transition into the right. Wait, hold. Let me land. Bro, I love Timothy Weah. Look, I think Timothy Weah has some problems with his link-up play, in my opinion, and some of his positioning over the World Cup, at least from what I saw in the World Cup. I thought some of his positioning was a little bit shoddy. But that's as a striker. I feel like off the right, like an inside forward role, kind of. Like, I feel like his ball striking is so good, so elite. Like, he could have some type of season in, like, the Prem or wherever he wants to go to, where he bags, like, a 20 and 10 as like a right winger type of role, right forward type of role. Like, I'm a big fan of Timmy. I know Rio is as well. I know Danny. Shout out Danny as well. Like, we were all raving about this dude for USA. Like, and he's a guy I feel like the USA has to build on. Like, obviously this, he could flop, but the real name I went with, this is crazy. I went with a player who's young, but he's not performing right now. But you know that's how shit works, bro. Odegaard 5 years ago was not, performing.
Yeah, but he had the glimpses.
Sure. And this player, I feel like, has some glimpses. Plays currently for Sporting on loan from Barcelona. Trincao. Francisco Trincao. Yes. Yo. I'm buying in.
Time for the midfielders, bro.
Yo, I'm buying in,
bro. No explanation.
I'm buying in. I'm saying he gets a move to the Premier League and he figures it out.
Dude, in 5 years, he's going to be an 81 non-gold FIFA card, bro.
Bro, I think it's possible, bro. I really do. I really, really, really do. I do.
You really came on this podcast today. You said Timothy Weah.
He thought he was cooking.
And then you said,
I know. I was throwing down. I was throwing it down in the kitchen. I'm going Trincao. I'm not going to explain it because we're running all along, but yes, I'm going with Trincao, baby. I'm buying stocks, baby. I'm buying stocks. S-Striker, obviously, Kylian Mbappe. Yeah, I have him going to Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Hold on. Erling Haaland as the striker. So,
okay.
So, can we recap our team so far for the viewers again? So, Enrique, recap your team, please.
I mean, we haven't done the midfield yet. We could just do it in the end.
Okay, fair.
Yeah.
I just wanted.
I had Mbappe. I had Mbappe at Madrid in 2027, and then backup players: Osimhen at Napoli, Isak, Newcastle, obviously. Let's get to the mids. This is where it gets juicy. Rio, what's your midfield three?
My midfield three: Bellingham, obviously.
Yep.
Valverde, and then this is going to be a shock: Andre Santos, Chelsea side.
Okay, yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
balling at the U20 World Cup right now, and I honestly think he's gonna start next season for Chelsea. I'm just gonna say,
yeah. I'm with that, Kareem.
So we got Valverde, like he said, but I don't know if it's gonna be what he's gonna be in the future. He's gonna be a right winger, a center mid. That's for the future, but right now he's a center mid. And then you know, we gotta push propaganda once again.
Oh, no.
Tchouaméni will be 28. No, he'll be 27. So. That's a beautiful age, bro. He'll be in his prime. We'll see. He'll be even better than Casemiro. You'll see, bro. And then my last one, it really just depends where Bellingham is. If he's at a shite Liverpool, he's not team of the year.
Oh, my God.
He's not going there.
If he's at Madrid, there's a chance. I just really need to see where Bellingham is. But to not push too much propaganda, I'm going to say Pedri.
This guy. So my backup names. I feel like that was an unbiased. I mean, I would have liked the Bellingham inclusion there, but you know.
It just depends where he goes, bro. If he's at PSG or some crazy place,
he's gonna ball out. He's gonna ball out at Liverpool.
They gonna move him to right back, bro. They go.
So my two backup names that I had in here as well were Tchouaméni and Pedri, obviously, but I felt like, you know, give some shout out to some other guys. So obviously I have Bellingham at Liverpool by 2027. Obviously I got to push that prop. My other name was Mr. Jamal Musiala for Bayern. I think he'll stay at Bayern, to be honest. I know obviously there's a lot of links in the Prem, and I think that's a possibility, you know, obviously because he is of English origin, but I feel like he'll stay at that Bayern side and be the centerpiece. Like he was already the centerpiece of Germany. Like he was by far and away the best player in the Germany team. And honestly, I feel like if he would have made it to the knockouts, he would have been one of the team of the tournament players. But I'm going Bellingham, I'm going Musiala, and I'm going in Barca by 2027, Bruno Guimarães.
I like that.
I don't like that one.
Bruno G will be at Barca in 2027. I think so.
Andrew Tate didn't want to speak. I tried to give him the mic, but he's in jail right now.
Jesus Christ. Rightfully so, brother. All right, let's recap the teams though. Kareem, give me what was the team for the
so for quick the... quick fire. I got Donnarumma, Alphonso Davies. We'll go Militao, Konate, or Guardiola. Right back. What did I say for right back? Hakimi.
You said Hakimi.
Hakimi. You just heard my midfield. We had Valverde, Tchouaméni, Pedri, or Bellingham, and then left wing, Vini Junior, Kylian Mbappe. In PayPal. He gonna be another in PayPal.
In PayPal.
And then the one I'm sticking my leg out for is Kai Osaka.
Yes. Okay. I got in net Nick Pope, 35-year-old Nick Pope. And Alphonso Davies at left back. Mr. Trent Alexander-Arnold still for Liverpool. Liverpool captain, obviously, by that point, at right back.
Liverpool slave.
The center backs, I got Jurrien Timber at Real Madrid and Ibrahima Konate. In the midfield, I have Jude Bellingham, obviously playing for the Kopites. In the Musiala as well, and Bruno G at that point, hopefully by Barcelona or somewhere else. In the attacking line, I got Vinicius Jr. at left mid, obviously. Francisco Trincao at right wing, obviously. And Mr. Killy, Mbappe at striker. Rio, give us your team.
All righty. So for my 4-4-2, we got in goal. Kepa Arrizabalaga. He's going to be so good.
I just watched.
Oh, that's terrible. That's worse than Trincão. Real Kareem. For real.
What's worse than Trincão? A keeper being his prime? What's
worse? Listen. Like I said, you guys are wearing two different shirts from your club. You guys are both delusional.
Yeah, but he's backing a player on his team, Kepa. I'm backing Trincão because I think he's a good little player.
Yeah, so exactly. Rio has a reason to back him.
That's crazy,
right? Okay, but at my right back spot, I got Reece James. He's going to be so good in the future, way better than Trent or Hakimi.
That's crazy.
Then we got our center back picks. If it's not 42-year-old Thiago Silva over Militão, it'll definitely have to be Wesley Fofana. And why do I feel like I'm forgetting my other pick? And Guardiola. And then our left back spot, it's the Hernandez, right? Then at our right mid spot, it'll be Fede Valverde. Then in our midfield, we're going to have Andre Santos from Brazil, new and upcoming Chelsea project.
Like that pick.
Jude Bellingham. Then at the left mid, we got Vinicius Jr. And then up top, Mbappe and Haaland. Unstoppable.
That was tasty. I really like that. I feel like we're gonna look back on this, and when Trincão was lifting that Ballon d'Or in 2027, Fulham will have another full. Qatar will buy Fulham, and Fulham will win the league, and he will be the star. So that I'm just telling you how it is. Like, I know
this is so criminal.
I've read the script, brother. I know what's gonna happen. But no, this was fun. This was fun for sure. I hope you guys enjoyed as well. Yo, if you're watching on the YouTubes or if you're seeing this on the Instagrams, post your team as well. You know, don't be shy, brother. Come on, brother. But yeah. So hope you guys enjoyed it. We have more.
I got one more question. Can you go ahead, bro? Explain why Trincão? Like, what about him,
bro?
Those vibes of he's gonna win a Ballon d'Or. He's gonna be that team of the year.
It's just vibes, bro. Like he's played, I believe. Don't factor it. I think he's played something like all 18 games in the Portuguese league this season. I think he has about like 5 goals and like 3 assists or something like that. And anytime I have seen clips, I've seen clips of him at Barca, but I've also recently been watching clips of him at Sporting and stuff like that. Like, I feel like he gives me like reject vibes, like reject that like in a project, in a system turns out to be, you feel me? Because like, think about it, in 2013 or 2012, whatever, you would have said Salah was one of the worst players. You would have laughed at me if I said Salah in 5 years.
I still laugh.
Okay, bro. But like, you feel me? Like, there's definitely,
say somebody respectful, like Odegaard was a reject.
Yeah, but if you would have told me, well, it's different because Odegaard was always touted to be like, you know, the next big thing. So I think it's a little different with him, like compared to other failed, like wonder, like Ozil, for example, right? Or like, you know, even at one point Modric when he first went to Madrid, like it's hard to see the bounce back. But I think the talent is there. And I think there's going to be like that one system where he just fits in. And the Yao Felix, the Ronaldo comes out, bro. You feel me? Like that. It's going to happen.
So I don't think anyone would agree with you, but sure.
No, I definitely. Yeah. I mean, look, I thought the right wing position was a little bit dry anyways. And I didn't want to just go with who was good right now.
You could just try to put your left wing over, you know?
No, I could. That's why I said Kavicha could be the right wing, but I want to go Trincão. I feel like it's a high risk, high reward pick, babe. Let me know what you guys think in the comment section below. Make sure to show love on the IG, the YouTubes,
the OnlyFans.
Yeah,
we got exclusive content, boys and girls, on that OnlyFans. You know, it's only $5 for the paid premium service where you see
this guy filmed it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Kareem does it and Enrique gets in it. Join our OnlyFans. It's only $5, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, and we're getting active. Real, real active.
This has been The Clean Sheet. Thank you guys for tuning in. And as always, see you next week. And we are.